are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Wednesday episode of the podcast. And Wednesdays mean my guest today is Nick Winkler. It's another Winky Wednesday on the show. Before we bring Nick on, do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show, and you can find this podcast and so many others on the new podcast app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And when you're in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On 49ers.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nicholas, how are you, sir?
No, I'm fantastic, buddy. Off-season programs are getting started here. We got the Masters this week. NBA, NHL playoffs are coming. Baseball's in full swing. Dude, this is it. This is a good time right now.
The best months of the year by far. April and October. Right?
Oh, I see. I go September, but yeah, I like October too.
I like That's October. Good. I like the weather starts to change. You get the postseason for baseball. NFL's full swing. April's awesome. You got the draft. Baseball's getting going. You've got the tournament. You have so much going on. It's awesome. By the way, that just reminds me, you talking about the PGA, because you watch golf. You play golf. I play a little bit of golf. I'm not great, and I do not watch golf at all. But when I first met you, you had talked about this fantasy league you do that encompasses every sport. Do you still do that?
Yeah, the decathlon.
It's a year long.
We do 10 sports. Yeah.
You have 10 sports and it's a year long thing. So when does it start and end?
It starts today, actually. Tomorrow, the first picks have to be in before 6:30 a.m. On Thursday when the Masters start. So you pick the Masters. You don't actually just pick the Masters when it comes to golf. You actually pick four golfers and they only count for the four majors throughout the year. And then,
wow,
you know, then we got to have our NBA picks in by Saturday, MLB picks in by Saturday. NHL, I think, is due in by like Thursday night or something. Yeah, this is a really important time right now for this decathlon. It's it's a lot of fun. If you're out there and you like to do the fantasy sports and you're not just a football guy, you're not just a baseball guy, you want to really mix it up, go look it up. Just look up like fantasy decathlon. You'll find it.
That sounds wild. I that's not my style of a situation, but I was really intrigued when you first told me about it. And I just don't go deep enough into things like golf. Like what's your sleep?
No.
Do you have a sleeper golfer? Yeah. Like if you have the last pick, so how many people are in this?
No. See, it's everybody. It's basically like they make it where it's tiers, you know, like you got to pick one guy from the A group or one guy from the B group and things like that. So like you could have the exact same picks as somebody else.
Oh, so there's crossover. Okay.
Yeah. So that's how it works too. Or it'll be like, you know, Dustin Johnson's the number one golfer. He's not anymore, but you know, so he's worth 9 points and Justin Rose is worth 7, and you know, and it goes down to zero golfers and it's like picks get six golfers and they can't be more than 20, you know? So you really have to try to balance out how you do it. And it changes every year too. Like everything's a little bit different every year. So you can't be like, well, I did it this way last year, I'm going to do it again this way. It's cool too. You pick the Triple Crown. I mean, you pick tennis guys, and oh man, it's what I grew up with. So it kind of, you know, it lets us stay together. We still chat every couple weeks, you know, when a big event happens or when we have to do picks. It's a nice way to hang out with your buddies, even though, you know, we're all grown up with kids and we don't really get to hang out.
That's awesome. So I am glad I didn't join that with you, because then I'd ruin it, because then I'd win every year and then your friends would be all mad because you brought this ringer in
again. No, there's I think there was 485 teams last year.
Wow.
Yeah, it just keeps going up. It's big time. Yeah,
that's wild. How does the football part of it work?
Well, they have two. It's actually, you do like a preseason pick, and it's essentially the same thing where it's like, you know, you have to. I think this one actually allows you to pick someone from each division, and then a couple of wild cards from each. And then when the playoffs roll around, it's seeded. You know, like the number one seeds are one, and the sixes, you know, and that's where it's like pick four teams overall. And they can't be more, you know, than 20 points. Or they have to be more than 20 points, something like that. Like I said, it changes every year.
So when you pick the teams for the different sports, does it go by record or does it go by, like, points or, like?
Exactly. It is whoever puts this thing together changes it every year. So when my picks come around for the NFL, I'll make sure to talk about it on the show again. Just kind of give everybody, you know, a heads up of how that goes. But,
okay,
yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. We do it for the NCAA, too. You know, you pick college guys before the season, and then you pick again for the tournament. Like, you pick one from each seed, and then you pick again in the Sweet 16. Like, there's a lot of points in this thing that just goes on for a full year. And yeah, it's an investment in time, but you know, it's well worth it, man. It's a lot of fun. Yeah,
you have no life. It's the perfect thing for you, right?
I'm a numbers guy too, so it's perfect for me.
Let's see. There's not a lot of news kicking around right now. Things got suddenly quiet this week on the NFL draft front, and we still don't know. Josh Rosen's at his Arizona Cardinals workouts, so that trade hasn't happened yet. Are the Cardinals really going with Kyler Murray number one? I don't know. Very interesting stuff there. I did have a... go ahead.
You were talking to Matt Williamson yesterday on the show. And yeah, I heard you guys kind of talking back and forth about that. And, you know, you kind of both were saying like, yeah, everybody believes that, you know, that Kyler Murray is going number one to Arizona. I still don't buy it. I still don't buy it. Not one single bit of that. I think it's all, they're just trying to hype up that pick. And if they don't trade it, I think he's
thing that's happening. And also Josh Rosen's still a Cardinal. So until he gets traded, then it's like, okay, it's happening. And Matt Williamson did bring up a great point about you trade Rosen now. Kyler Murray, something awful happens. You know, he gets busted with drugs or gets in a car accident or hurts himself, tears his ACL. So maybe you do want to wait until the night before, and maybe something is ready and in the works, and they're trying to see if they have a better offer or something. Then it'll go down when it's more, you know, like the 49ers last year wanted to make sure they got McGlinchey before they traded Trent Brown.
Of course.
So there is some things.
And you made
that
a good point too. Like, maybe there's a secret, like, deal with with Washington right now, where it's like, all right, well, as soon as we get our guy, we'll make the trade with you.
Right. Or maybe Washington's like, look, you can have pick 15, but we think this other quarterback might fall to us that we would just draft in the first round. Let's make sure that doesn't happen first.
Sure.
So maybe that's what has to happen. And Cardinals are like, yeah, you're never going to get that guy. So we're going to trade him to you on draft night. So there's a lot of things that could happen, but until it happens, I like you, I'm not 100% sold really on anything that I hear.
I'm 0% sold. I don't buy it.
Well, you think it's like 100% the other way. Like they are complete smoke screen. Okay.
I do not think that Kyler Murray will be. I know Kyler Murray will not be on the Arizona Cardinals.
I love it. Okay. See, that's fun.
That's my pink and the stink or whatever. That's me today. That's it.
That's
I don't buy it.
The wink and the stink.
That's it.
Yes, the wink and the stink. Okay, perfect. I'm glad we had a wink in the stink. I keep forgetting. That's got to be a segment we get to. So that is, we need a sponsor for that segment. Brought to you by.
I didn't even mean to.
Brought to you by, what is it? What's your favorite pizza? Michael's, is that what it's called? In Stockton?
Michael's Pizza in Stockton, yeah.
All right.
I just had that the other day.
We got to call Michael's and get some kind of tie-in here. A wink in the stink with the official Locked On 49ers pizza at Wink's favorite pizza spot.
And if you go to that spot, too, you got to get the ranch. They do something special. They use like a buttermilk. They make their own. Oh, it's the best ranch in the entire world.
All right. I got to make a run through Stockton.
I'll just have it brought to you by the ranch.
Just the ranch alone?
Just brought to you by Michael's Pizza Ranch.
Okay. I love it. So, yeah, on the news front, there's not much out there, but I do want to dip into the Locked On 49ers mailbag and hit you with a couple of things that came down the old Twitter pipeline.
I dig it.
Let's start with Jay Cheno, number one 49ers fan, by the way, which is, that's a bold claim on Twitter.
Sure.
Claiming number one 49ers fanage. But the question here is, I'm hearing
it could be a cipher first.
There's probably, like a 150,000 way tie for first place.
Sure. He's up there too.
I'm hearing rumors about 49ers talking trade with the Bengals for AJ Green. Have you heard this? And what would we have to give up to get Green? See, this is one of those that I think people talk about, and it never really came from an actual report, right? I've scoured the internet since I saw this. I was like, oh, maybe there's some new reports that I'm missing because it was slow news time. I think this is one of those completely fan made up things, right? Even though they're like, I understand where it comes from and it could make some sense, but I haven't seen any official reports about this. Have you seen AJ Green's name by like Schefter or anything like that?
No, I think that actually we had a talk about it on our show a few weeks ago where I think we had a question from someone that said the same thing. Like, what do you guys think about AJ Green? This and that. And we had a little segment about it. And I remember I kept saying no, because he's getting old. You know, he's going to be 31 by the time the season starts and his numbers are just on the decline. So
same age
I haven't seen anything legit for sure.
I have not either. So I think that maybe is our fault that we dropped that and then it came full circle back to us as a full on rumor, which can happen. And it wouldn't be a shocker at all, because I think that's a team that needs to figure some things out and rebuild. Mm-hmm. They might be drafting themselves a new quarterback and starting over. Right. Without AJ or without Andy Dalton, which would make a lot of sense. And then when you have a 31-year-old wide receiver who could bring you back some draft picks and help you rebuild quicker, that makes a lot of sense. He's the same age as Antonio Brown. Obviously, he doesn't have the off-field problems. He has some injury problems, though, that have dogged him a little bit throughout his career, and I think that's caused his numbers to dip a little bit. But at the same time, that would make him maybe more on the value side of things, especially compared to what it costs to trade for someone like Odell Beckham. So in that regard, maybe he still does make some sense, and it's worth throwing that out there, especially if you're the 49ers and maybe you don't take a wide receiver in the first two rounds. You're like, hey, Bengals, check it out. You can have our high third round pick and then maybe a little something else, whether it's conditional or not, next year. And let's talk about AJ Green, and I could see that happening. But right now, I think for me, at least, I'm fully focused on the top of the second round. I think that's where you go wide receiver and you try to hit a home run with the beastliest guy you can find there. That's how I would attack things. But maybe that guy, it turns out, isn't there. And there's maybe a run right before the 49ers at the end of the first round. And then maybe you make some phone calls. But I'm not completely against the AJ Green thing. I think he really fits on for what the 49ers could really use on offense right now. So, and he's a great player. So maybe he's a long in the tooth, but depending on price, you know, if you're talking day two picks, maybe a couple of mid-round picks, maybe a player or something. I don't know what it would exactly take, and I don't know if the Bengals just seem like a team that doesn't make moves like that. They just kind of sit back and let the draft come to them, and they don't make a lot of big trades and a lot of moving up, moving down, or anything like that. So I don't know. And there's not many guys that can sell tickets in Cincinnati right now, so that's another factor for ownership. But I'd absolutely make some calls on AJ Green.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. And, you know, you mentioned it might be a team that's looking for a quarterback in the draft. Like, I'd probably bet that they would straight up and draft Kyler Murray before Kyler Murray would be a Cardinal. Like, that's how much I'm not buying the Cardinals taking him at number one. But I think you're right. Like, the Cardinals are just kind of – or the Bengals are just kind of that team that sits around and does the same thing year in and year out. And where does it get them? You know, nowhere.
Right. And hey, so if you are the Bengals and you're sort of starting over and you trade, let's say you move up a little bit and you go get your quarterback, maybe Kyler Murray falls and you trade up for him. Well, now you need to sort of recoup some picks because you had to trade some picks to move up. So then you trade AJ Green to recoup those picks. So that's, you know, and maybe the New York Giants are sort of in that same boat where they traded Odell Beckham. And if they draft a quarterback or a wide receiver with that pick, you're like, why did you just do that? Because you got a worse player now. But at the same time, you're starting over. And you can use those picks, and it gives you some flexibility. So there's a lot of wild things that could happen on draft day, which is obviously why this thing is so fun. And don't be surprised if AJ Green does move. But to answer the original question, no, I have not heard any actual reports that he would be on the move.
Right. So let's you know, take a look at an example right here. Let's imagine that the Bengals are sitting there. Nick Bosa is gone at number one. And they're thinking, okay, we want to get our guy Kyler Murray. Let's get the 49ers on the call. What would it take for the 49ers to get out of there? Would it be like swapping number ones, Bengals sit at 11, and AJ Green? You take that deal?
Let's say the trade again.
So the Niners have give up two, get number pick 11, and AJ Green.
Two, and they get 11 and AJ Green. I would say no to that from the 49ers. So yeah, I'm pulling up the old NFL draft trade chart right now. So
it would take more, is what you're saying.
It would take more in the 49ers' favor. So
okay,
11.
Pull up your draft chart and say what else would need to be thrown into this to make it kind of balance out.
Yeah, so let's make it two separate trades. Let's say, okay, so AJ, so the Bengals would trade up to two. Let's say what that would cost, and then say what the trade cost would be for then the 49ers to move picks back to the Bengals for AJ Green. So
okay,
going from 11 to 2, if you're just going by this chart, and sometimes things are close to this, sometimes things are skewed a little bit, so it's not exact, but you know, maybe the 49ers will be willing to take a little bit less because they're willing to move down. So 11 to 2, so 11 is worth 1,250 points, pick 2 is worth 2,600 points. So basically, it's a huge difference, and it's exponentially goes more and more and more. So basically, like if you're moving up to 5 versus moving up to 2, that's a big difference. That's a first round draft picks difference as far as the points go. So 1250. So basically, you would need to get up to 2600 points. You would need pick 8 and 11, essentially.
Okay. And what's AJ Green worth, do you think?
Basically, he's not worth pick 8.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's why I would say
he worth a late second, a third? So
I think a second round pick is completely fair value. If the 49ers called the Bengals, they would not ask for pick number 2, and the 49ers would obviously say no. But they would it'd be fair game if they asked for pick 36, which is the second rounder. That'd be fair. Okay. But I think AJ Green might only be signed for one more year. So if I'm the 49ers, I might say, yeah, no, he's a 1 year guy. Right. Let's talk about the third round pick, and then because that basically gives you back a better pick than you would have got for a compensatory if you let him walk next year. And then we'll talk about a future pick to go along with it, maybe something that's conditional. If he plays well, if we re-sign him or something like that, then we can give you another pick, maybe another third rounder next year, or you know, whatever else, depending on him not getting hurt, just to give some contingencies there. And I don't know if the Bengals would accept that, but that's what I would be trying to do. I'd be trying to get AJ Green on a bargain if I'm the 49ers, but they would be completely fair to ask for pick 36, and that's probably fair value.
Okay, copy that.
Yeah, so and that's what's crazy about these draft trades, and that's why maybe a lot of teams who would love to move up, if you're Washington at 15 or the Giants at 17 or Cincinnati or Miami, they would love to move up and draft, say, Kyler Murray, but it's so expensive. They've got to dip into future first rounders and multiple picks this year and maybe another pick next year. It's crazy. So I think the Carson Wentz trade, they went from 8 to 2, right? Philly did.
It cost them, yeah.
And that cost them 2 first rounders. So it cost them number 8. It cost them a future first. It cost them a second and a fourth this year and a second the following year. Or a third.
That's crazy.
So it's just nuts. Yeah. It's a lot. It's expensive. So basically, if you're outside of the top 10, you almost can't get up to number 2 unless the team really wants to get out of there and you're willing to give up a ton.
Right.
Let's keep this rolling with, I love how the podcast is over halfway over and we've answered one question so far.
Well, you answered my question too, so that's 2.
Yeah, that's very true. And of course, remember to get this show every day. Subscribe to Locked On 49ers on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to this podcast. Let's go to our buddy Rodimus from Hawaii. He says, aloha. He says, aloha, Brian and Nick, by the way.
Good. Now I'll answer.
I've sold myself on Quinnen Williams over Nick Bosa by a hair. I will be happy with either. I can see Buckner and Q duo or a Ford Bosa duo. I personally can visualize more disruption from the Buckner Q Williams duo.
I don't know if I'd put him over Bosa, but I'm more and more, the more I see tape of this Quinnen Williams, you know, he's a beast inside. You know, I'm really getting sold on him for sure.
He's a monster.
I hate the thought of drafting yet another defensive lineman, but,
exactly.
You know, if he's the best player available, you take
it. Yeah, and he's the best. And there's a nice little gap there. And he's one of the best interior defensive line prospects in a while, like in a decade, in 10 or so years. He's basically, so put it this way, and we're talking not with hindsight, not now that we've seen him in the pros, but if Quinnen Williams and DeForest Buckner and even Aaron Donald and some, think of all the best interior type defensive linemen that have come out in the last few years, if they were all in the same draft, Quinnen Williams would be the highest rated prospect.
That's crazy.
So that's what we're talking about here. He's a really good prospect. And if a team has him rated number 1 over Bosa, that would not be a surprise at all. So right. Rodimus goes on to say, please, if the 49ers do draft or end up with Nick Bosa, can you tell me or remind me what are Eric Armstead and Solomon Thomas's strengths? Will they improve with D Ford on the edge? Can Sala develop Armstead after 1 year, shoulder injury in 2017, and Solomon Thomas after 2 years? So Rodimus is just a stream of consciousness, and you can tell he's getting a little bit, he's getting that draftitis where you just start to get loopy and weird. So
sure. Yeah,
Rodimus, it's okay. Just chill out and let it all happen. It's all going to be okay. And if the 49ers do draft Nick Bosa, and I've talked about this a lot, it's you can't alter your plans because of Armstead and Solomon Thomas right now, but Eric Armstead had a really good year last year. And when he's healthy, he's a good player. He's just not a 10 sack a year guy, but he's that big defensive end. He can control people in the run game. He really has strong hands and control linemen, and he gets a lot of pressure, but doesn't always get home. He doesn't have that burst to get there. So, but he's a beast, and he's trouble inside. So if Solomon Thomas is kind of the same guy, he's just a year behind in development because and Solomon Thomas was young coming out, but they play a similar position. So one of those guys is not going to be on the field. There's going to be a maybe if Buckner's taking a rest, those two guys can be on the field at the same time as interior defensive lineman with Bosa and Ford on the outside on passing downs, which would be fine. Which is nice to have that depth, but right now you can't make any plans around those guys. And they're good players; they're just not amazing, and they're not plan altering players. And at some point, they're probably both going to be gone and not be signed long term, especially if Bosa comes in, because you just have too much depth and you can't pay everybody, and you got to pay a lot of money pretty soon to DeForest Buckner. And I don't know how you feel about those two guys, but I feel like just because they're not amazing and they're first round picks, they get more crap than they deserve because they're okay players. And it's like, dude, let's say they're third round draft picks. Nobody would care. Nobody would be talking about them. Right. Now, right.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's unfair. You know, it's a certain adage that I have when it comes to fantasy football or baseball or any of these other sports where after the draft is done, like you got to forget where you drafted someone. You just got to look at production. You got to look at numbers. You got to look at how they're actually doing. Like, don't try to be like, okay, well you need to live up to this standard because I took you in the first round. Well, no, you said it. These are pretty solid football players. Like Solomon Thomas, I saw a lot of development last year where he was taking on two guys and it led to someone else getting a tackle or someone else getting a pressure on the quarterback or him pressuring a quarterback that led him to throw an incompletion. That doesn't necessarily show up in the box scores. You know, hurries. You don't get a lot of talk about that when it comes to talking about somebody's stats. But these are a couple of solid football players. And if two of them together, fresh out there, kind of feel in the same position, I feel like that's good. I mean, depth is important. You want to have a lot of good football players on your team, and those are a couple of good football players. And you're right. I think that they kind of get judged unfairly because, again, it is a couple of first-round draft picks.
And there's no guarantee those guys are going to still be on the roster because of that depth. Sure. The 49ers then have the ability to say, okay, look, teams, these are good football players. You know they're good. You're not attached to the whole draft pick thing. Like, right. You know, the 49ers and the 49ers fan base is, you bring in a good player that used to be, like, so we're Laken Tomlinson. He was a first-round draft pick. And yeah. The Detroit Lions are like, why did we just take a pretty okay guard in the first round, right? That, you know, looking back, you're like, why would you spend a first-round pick on that? But for the 49ers, like, hey, we got a pretty good player here, sure. And he was cheap for us, but it got them at least a draft pick, and so the 49ers could go that route and trade a guy and get a little bit something back that they can use for another player that they draft or maybe in another trade or whatever, so... Again, flexibility and depth is a very good thing, and you've got to protect yourself from injuries. We've seen that. 49ers are in a good spot. Keep drafting good players, and don't worry about having too many good ones at one position.
There you go. Amen.
Let's see. What do we got here? Let's go to Bishop. He says, what's good, BD? What's good, Nick? Question, does Rosen attending offseason workouts suggest Arizona's sticking with their QB?
Yes.
No. We're split on that one. We're split on that one. I think that helps trade value. But so here's the thing, because Cardinals are lying one way or the other, right?
Right.
They're not going to keep both guys long-term. So they're either really showcasing Rosen. They're like, hey, no, we'll keep him then if we don't get a good offer. Or they're saying, yeah, we were actually never going to draft Kyler Murray. We were just hoping to tease someone up to get to number one and not trade up to five instead of one to get this quarterback. Could go either way.
And maybe they do keep both guys, and it's an open competition in camp. I mean, that would be why not? They're both on rookie contracts, right?
I guess. I guess.
They're not drafting Kyler Murray, so we don't even need to talk about this.
I love it.
And until I see it happen, man, I'm not convinced.
Bishop also gives a shout-out to baby Leo, so thank you for that. Leo's doing well, taking a little nap right now. Let's finish it off with Jarvis. He says, I hope your family is well. Thank you so much. I have been hearing some people say that Nick Bosa will not be productive at this level because most of his sacks came by beating non-pro level linemen. What do you think of this assessment? I will say that just overall, most players don't consistently go up against other pro or all-pro level linemen, and you see some occasionally, but there is a lot of future insurance salesmen and future UPS truck drivers and things that players are going against. It's just, that's the reality of it. That's what happens. These college football players do. You see those commercials where it's like NCAAs, we're preparing these kids for life, and it shows them doing all these other jobs.
Right.
That's still the majority of college football players are not playing in the NFL. Only the best are. And you sometimes get to play against those guys regularly, and sometimes you don't. What I saw in Nick Bosa is just you have to evaluate what you can evaluate. And he did well against good players. He dominated bad players. So that's all you can ask for. Just like players on small school level, you want to see them dominate the competition they're allowed to go against. And then you evaluate that. And that's all you can do. That's why this is an inexact science. But I will say that other players like Josh Allen is a similar story. The best player he went up against was Juwan Taylor, who's a first round tackle, and he stonewalled him completely. So you have to continue to develop. They're not done. They have to continue to get better. And with Nick Bosa, I think it's really easy to see how he's going to be good in the NFL. And I have no problems with the competition or what he showed me on tape.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. You can only go up against who you can go up against. And the draft's a crapshoot. And this is exactly why. Because college football is a very different game than the NFL. You know, there's a couple of guys out there that are going to be playing in the NFL. Whereas the NFL is a pool of all the very best of the best in the entire world. You know, I mean, let's be real here. That's what it is. And you gotta take Bosa for what he is. He comes from pretty good lineage. You know, you got to start there, and you got to look at the tape, and he's quick, and he's, you know, he's fast. He's got that bend. And yeah, I think that if I had my way in this upcoming draft, I would want the 49ers to get Bosa. But if they don't, it's not the end of the world. You know, it's not like I'd be like, oh, he didn't get Bosa. It's ruined. Like, no, we'll be fine.
Right. And there's some other players that do have maybe a higher upside and could potentially get there. They don't have as high of a floor. They have better bust potential. So you hope that if they do trade down or they don't take Bosa, they take another guy. There's a lot of good football players in this draft. There's going to be 250 players or whatever drafted. And some of them are going to be great that are drafted in the fifth round. Some of them are going to be terrible that are drafted in the first round. You just hope that they hit on the right guys. And all the boxes you can check just helps. And I think Nick Bosa checks just about every box except for that unfortunate injury last year, but I'm not super worried about that one.
Right, and you know, there's going to be a couple of great football players that aren't even drafted, too, that come in as unrestricted free agents and all of a sudden, you know, figure it out. You know, that's just how it goes.
I completely agree. All right, we're out of time here, Nick. Thank you so much for joining the show once again.
My pleasure.
Talk to you next week. We're getting very close to draft day. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and a reminder, you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya Podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Talk to you tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.
See ya.